everybody's back. Let me formally open the April Input Committee meeting for second April at 12:32. And with that, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners, the Garinara people, and acknowledge their leaders past, present and future who have and will continue to do to contribute to the town of Port Hedland. So welcome everybody. Item 2, recording of attendance and apologies. Do we have any apologies?
Councillor Hunt.
Thank you. Approved 2.3, approved leave of absence, nil. Item 3, response to previous questions taken on notice. 3.1, questions from the public at airport committee meetings held on Wednesday the 5th of February, there being nil. Move on to item 2, questions from committee members at the airport committee meeting held on the same day, there being nil as well. Item 4, public time. Just an important notice, this meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute-taking purposes, which may be released upon request to the third parties. If you do not give permission for recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is also reminded that in accordance with section 20.3 of the Town of Port Hedland local law on standing orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless that person has been given permission by the chairperson to do so.
Just before you proceed, Madam Chair, sure. I was just trying to, is Councillor Melville, are you here as a deputy today?
No, I wasn't going to be, but just as an observer.
Well, just we've got one elected member missing. We've got an elected member at the table.
If you want me to be, okay.
Is he a proxy?
I thought all elected members were.
For the airport committee, yes, I think.
I don't know. It was only the finance. Yeah, it was only finance we put everyone in.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Who's missing? Because
so you are here.
Councillor Hunt.
Yeah.
Is an apology.
Yeah.
Councillor Melville is a proxy.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay, should be recorded as being.
Okay.
A committee member.
Thank you for that clarification. If we can just record that Councillor Melville is here as proxy on behalf of Councillor Hunt. Okay. Item 4.1, public question time. I declare public question time open at 12:34. Are there any questions from the public? Right, there being none, I'll declare public question time closed at 12:34. Public statement time. I declare public statement time open at 12:35. Are there any statements from the public? No statements from the public. I therefore declare public statement time closed at 12:35. Item 5, questions from members without notice.
No Sir. Questions, thank you.
Councillor Hunt. Councillor Newbury?
Any she is.
Questions? Oh, sorry. Butson?
No, not this time.
Jeez, it'll never happen, will it? Sorry, Lorraine, I do apologise. Councillor Gillingham.
Oh, just a quick one there. With the resignation of Mr Bob Cousins from the airport manager position, I'm just wondering, a couple of questions are, regarding a farewell function for him. I think that I know that we discussed just briefly yesterday. And also, at what stage do we actually advertise for a new position? Is there a particular time frame that we wait until Mr. Cousins has departed, or is there a special time frame to advertise for that position?
I might direct that to the CEO. Okay, we did
Thank
have
you
a brief conversation.
Taking the first question on board through you, Madam Chair. The first question on board first, that we had initial advice from Mr. Cousins that he did not want a farewell function. Understand that might have changed more recently, and we are going to invite Mr. Cousins again to let us know about a farewell function, as well as inviting him to the next ordinary council meeting so that irrespective of any other farewell function, he can be properly recognised by the council for his 18 years of service to the town of Port Hedland. In terms of replacing Mr Cousins, we obviously have Mr McKay as acting manager at the moment, so we're in a very fortunate position that we can consider our recruitment time. And now that we have Mr Cousins' resignation, we can now proceed with double-checking the position description in terms of any new recruitment, but also needing to be mindful of the potential governance models into the future before we start the recruitment process. So we'll probably have a further discussion with elected members about that.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Councillor Gillingham. Dr King?
Yes. No, I haven't any questions.
Thank you for that. Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just wondering if you might be able to help me with, I had the great pleasure just on Thursday to attend FMG Solomon Mine opening, and it was a fantastic logistical exercise. I was blown away. They actually had 140 steel mills that they supply iron ore to, and they had representatives from each of those steel mills. So our airport actually entertained around 180 people. There was two private plane charters, but when we got to go on the plane, so we congregated in the arrivals area, then we all walked out past the air freight area, out to gate 2, stood in the sun while they all checked our tickets, and then we all got out there. And just for a very, very important Chinese delegation and other areas as well, actually made me a little embarrassed that we're out in the sun and it wasn't probably the vision of Port Hedland that I would have liked to have tried to impart. And I just wondered, what are the rules about using the terminal? And maybe in future, if we get big VIP things like that, is there a way that we can use the terminal and best showcase Port Hedland?
I'm happy to defer that to the PW prior to making comment. I suppose the vision is in the strategic planning stage at the moment, and my question would be also, was the airport notified that that delegation was?
Yeah, we were all there. They were shepherding us. They were making sure we're all fine and got me on the right plane, and we're all good, so they definitely knew.
So I shall defer that to the...
We actually had real Qantas boarding passes. It must have been a private Qantas charter. They all gave us the things and then we all went outside.
So if I can clarify through the chair, you're talking about being able to utilise the terminal facility for the housing of guests?
Being able to depart the terminal, go straight onto airside to the plane. So perhaps
we
might invite the acting manager of the airport to make some comment on that. Ian? I can't see you. Come to the table. So
perhaps maybe I can prompt your just the discussion if I can.
So I should move a little bit much.
If the entourage is the guests were gathering in the arrivals area, as understood.
Yeah, we all got our boarding
would
passes.
Would it have been possible for them to exit the arrivals entry and go straight onto tarmac to the plane, rather than having to go around? I guess what we might also suggest is the tradesman's entrance past the freight, past a pile of pallets and the rubbish bins to get onto airside. Can you legally do that?
It depends actually on what plane is going, what plane they're going on to, all right? If it's the RPQ service, they've got to go through the screening. Okay,
no, it was a private charter. I don't know how they did it. It was magical. It was amazing. Like, it was a logistical, amazing exercise.
Most of the private charters that come in go on to Bay 1 and 2, all right? So they can have the customers coming out and dealing with them.
But these were big F100 planes. Right. 100 on-seater planes.
Okay. Well, they've probably gone down to Bay 5 sort of thing because of the capabilities of... They should have gone to Bay 2.
Well, the guests had entered through gate 2.
Yeah.
I was going to say, probably in that process, Northwest Aviation are handling that interface between getting the terminal and getting onto the plane. So it's not something we deal with. So we would never have been notified that that was happening or could have had any input, I suppose, what FMG should have done.
But can we tell them? Because they were there. They were giving us all the passes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. FMG should have said, we have this delegation here who are, you know, a VIP delegation, whatever it is, we want this to be how would you normally do it, and this is what we want. They should have said that, and then that probably would have been able to be organised in some other fashion.
I was going to say, sorry to interject, but as a general principle, obviously it's an RPTA opening, we'd normally need to go through the screening point, pre-screened. The key thing there is you don't want to cross over or contaminate screened passengers with unscreened passengers. If there was no one there, generally it's usually about seeking permission to and then it can be facilitated.
Ian, Mark, you were saying?
I was saying it obviously it depends on when that plane comes in. It depends on the timing of that plane, because you might have an RPT service coming in, and that's already, if that plane channel is already booked.
There was no one there. It was 2-3 o'clock. There was not a single soul.
Yeah. All right, so...
Can I, Madam Chair, ask you to write to Northwest Aviation Services and ask them about, are there opportunities that when there are VIP or significant numbers of people, whether they could consider being able to have people go out a nice entry rather than out the back?
Can I just say another word? When a plane comes in, we don't know who's on that plane.
But in this instance, we were all in there, and Northwest Aviation Services knew, because they were helping making sure we got on the right plane, because there were two big planes.
So we don't know if it's VIP or whatever's coming in. All we know is an aircraft.
It's a special.
An allocation of where we put them. If they said, okay, fine, it's going to be all coming from overseas, we would put them on either Bay 1, depending on the size, or Bay 2. Because it's easier for the customs people to walk out and get them sorted out, or they come into the international area, they go around there and go back out. But sometimes we get planes that we have to put down to Bay 5, which is what you're talking about. They're being put on Bay 5, but we don't know if they're VIPs or not. So if there's going to be a plane coming through and you know there's going to be a VIP, let us know. Just an email to the airport manager. I then flick it to the reporting officers, and I just say Bay 1 or Bay 2 to them.
Thank you, Ian. Taking you on board your comments and your comments as well, Madam Mayor, what I might suggest the action be is that we have a meeting with Northwest Aviation Services as an interim with a follow-up letter to express these occurrences and what actions might be resolved as treating the VIPs in some manner that's appropriate for them.
Or any group that's greater than 12. Like at the end of the day, when you are grouped in with 180 people and you're queued out and standing out near the air freight shed in the sun, like I just think that wouldn't be ideal. Like anyone who's more than 12 people, they should then, if you're less than 12, you can check the tickets and you're all on and you're off. But when you've got big groups of people, it just seems crazy to make them queue out around the bins and in the sun and everything.
Well, okay.
Yeah, so I just think there could be a
bit I understand your comments too. So are you happy with us having the meeting?
So it doesn't need to be just VIPs, it's people groups bigger than 12.
Yeah. I would suggest that we probably don't put a number to it, more about the event, because otherwise you're going to... Well, 12, if you got 11, you're not going to do it. If you got 10, you're not going to do it. You know, it just makes no sense if they are here for what you say, that they're VIPs or people who you want to make an impression to, then I think it should be, you know, just go by. Doesn't matter. We'll make that initial.
Make it open, please. No, luckily worries. The Chinese thought we were poor and they're going to invest big, so that was
fantastic.
Good.
Yeah, you probably go to China. You probably go to China and you walk past crates with chicken in it, not just pellets.
As long as it's not hot and 40 degrees, I don't care.
But anyway, so we have an action on that. Do we have a motion there that needs to happen?
It could just be an action, right?
Yeah, okay, beautiful. Thank you very much for your comments, Madam Mayor. Do you have anything more?
That'll be enough for today.
Okay. Fantastic. And I just, I guess with, I just like to at this stage myself acknowledge that the waterway across the arrival has now been fixed. So congratulations to the team at the airport. And your team, need a special mention for that. because I'll leave the flippers and snorkels at home now. Okay, item 6, declaration by members to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper presented before the meeting. May I have a show of hands? Thank you very much. Let the record show. 8. Item 7, confirmation of previous minutes. Confirmation of the minutes of the Airport Committee meeting held on Wednesday, the 5th of February. Are there any questions or notice? No? May I have a mover? Thank you, Dr. Second. King. Seconded. Thank you, Serge. Any against? All move. Thank you. Item 8, announcements by presiding member without discussion. Okay, just quickly, as Jan mentioned earlier on, we have had Bob resign. Bob Cousins, the airport general manager, resigned as of the 25th. We got his resignation on the 25th of March. And we have acknowledged that we will recognise his 18 years of service. I believe that Jan has had a conversation with Bob, and we would probably be recommending something in the lines of having any function relating to his retirement function be held at the airport, where he, I believe, feels more comfortable to have that. So I think Jan was going to take it.
I'll try and talk to him again.
Yeah, and see. That's right. So so anyway, we will acknowledge Bob's service, so thank you very much for bringing that up. That's all I have to say, other than the workshop that we held earlier this month for the governance model. So if anybody, we should be getting something back from Bevan.
Today?
Okay, so Bob, just a question in relation to that. Brett, we will forward that to all of the committee members offline, given that we won't be meeting again till June.
Yep.
Would that be the process?
So through you, Madam Chair, that was through the council.
Through the council? Well, it's got here. No?
Well, there was no committee members.
Okay. Right. No worries.
But it so can we'll, be shared through the minutes.
Yep. Yep. Cool. Thank you very much. All right. Item 9. Petitions, deputations, presentations and submissions. We're going to change the agenda format here. We're going to have 9.2 Brett present first, followed by Ian second. So Brett, we'll move to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
I guess you're sick of my voice and you want to get me out of the way as quickly as possible. Fair enough. And leave the best to Ian to last. Okay. Really quickly, obviously we've gone through quite a bit today, so we just want to touch on the more around the interim improvement program, but very quickly, just for completeness, obviously, of the usual presentation, just talking about the redevelopment strategy. And once again, just reaffirming, obviously, we've got the interim improvements, the services, the strategic reviews and outcomes, freight, logistics, airside operations, terminal car park, place plan and governance review, all forming part of that strategy, which will form that overarching document. I won't labour on that, obviously, because we've gone through that in considerable detail today. Just a bit of a project status, an update on the interim improvement program. So most of today's presentation is actually going to focus on the terminal. And just walking through that, although we've already walked through the terminal today as well. But just terminal secure area extension, the contractor has been awarded to Jackson Constructions and variations are now being considered. There was, after the contract award, there was a considerable amount of discussion around the toilets and improvement of the toilet facilities. And while we're spending this sum of money that we're spending, that we should be looking at improving the terminal because it is going to survive for at least another 3 years. And that we should be looking at incorporating a greater scope. So we've been talking to Jackson's about some variations to that scope. That they will be coming to the April OCM for approval once we've got them quoted. And we're now looking at a start date for the terminal being around early May as being the start date, just being delayed by a couple of weeks. Was originally going to happen just after Easter, but just being delayed by a couple of weeks so that we can assess those scopes. As part of our policies and our processes and committing to an appropriate level of disability access, it became important just to incorporate some increased functionality in the toilets and the like. So we'll talk about that when we get to it. A terminal painting, a tender is being prepared, and that will be issued at the end of April. This is in addition to the arts program that we spoke about. Public art, it's right there, public art and art installation of wall. Design briefings being developed, and request for proposal will be issued. And as I said, we'll circulate that briefing for committee members. Visitor information, interim brochure racks installed, pleased to say. And digital display boards, which we spoke about, are being investigated in May. And some of them are quite spectacular, I have to say. And the prices have come down quite a bit as well. So you're taking on board your comments about them being lost in the overall design. I think some of what we've looked at are a step change to what we've got. But we'll certainly be reviewing that. Virtuworks works and landscaping and shade structures. That scope of works has been revised given the staged works that we've looked at as well. We're just making sure that what we do with shade structures and in landscaping and the like isn't wasted when we start doing some of the staged works with that. And so we're looking at that being completed by end April, the tender to go out then. The concrete paths, slip road, long-term car park and offices, just for everyone's knowledge, the long-term car park has been completed. So that's an improved experience, and other works are being combined within the Verge works as well. Bus parking, when I say it's on hold, we were just waiting for the water to subside. I spoke about the water table in there, so we certainly will have it completed by mid-2014, hoping to bring that forward if we can. There's a little bit of work to now do in that area to stabilise it so that we can then complete those works. Is there any questions on any of this? All right, we'll go straight into this one. And obviously, a lot of you have already been walked through this in quite considerable detail this morning. So just starting at this end down here, this is the exterior area, which currently is a smoking area. We are increasing the size of the entry and exit into this area to make it easier to pass to and from the air-conditioned cafe area into this unconditioned area. This is being caged in suitable material to allow for shafts not to be passed through into the secure terminal area. This will have several fans, ceiling fans inside here as well. It'll have louvers with appropriate security mesh on it and the like so that shafts can't be passed through. We want to make sure that airflow is in that area so people can still experience an outside experience, albeit that it won't be a smoking area in the future.
So that will be non-smoking. Are they going to have a smoking area outside?
Yeah, there'll be a smoking area across the verge. We're going to create a shaded structure and a zone for them to smoke at. So you'll be able to have a cigarette before you go through screening. And the intention being that if you need that last gasp, you can have it before you go past screening. Just in terms of obviously some of the compliance reviews and some of the scope changes, within this area we need to add a further fire exit just in here because we are closing it off, so that needed to be incorporated. That fire exit then has to comply with officer transport security requirements and the like, and so break glass and alarm with CCTV being able to look at the door as well, so that people can be identified if they do break the security zone, which is obviously illegal, and suitable penalties would be imposed by OTS and the like. We have a as I said, an airlock being constructed here because we're moving all of the lobby area and airlock area from here out into this zone through here to create additional space through here. We spoke about the removal of the rooms around through here, so these walls coming out to create additional space, remembering that the baggage reclaim belt is there. And so it's not a substantial improvement, but it is an improvement, allowing greater access to that zone through there. This desk here is obviously moving through to here. We're boxing it off with double door access through here. That allows us just to create that extra space in here for departing passengers as well when we're using it in that function. Within this area through here, the operable walls are in this area here. So on arrival, we can queue via the usual queuing system into and through here to get the passengers off the apron, which is particularly beneficial during very hot days. So we can get them off the apron into this zone through here, into air-conditioned area, then they come through immigration, pick up their bag, and then they come through the secondary screening border agency function, the customs and quarantine function. In terms of the cafe, we're increasing the area. You can see it just underneath. We're increasing the area. We're increasing some bench area through here. We're opening this area up through here to allow a little bit more access into here. We're obviously wanting to increase passenger penetration and functionality to be able to use this area. This new area has an increased seating capacity in it as well. There will be some staged arrangements. We've been talking to the cafe about those in terms of licensing arrangements. So this will essentially be the permanent licensed area, but we're going to have some interim areas here and in here whilst we're doing the tiling and the works in here, so they can put some seating out there just to enable them to have sufficient seating to run their operations during the works program. Because whilst the works are being done at night, there will be areas that will be out of action. This area here, I think, is going to be out of action for 10 days while it's being done.
So, Brooke, just on that outside area, what floor is it going to be tiled, or is it?
Yes. The intention is that whatever we do in here, we'll run out into this area through here. So this will all be concreted. As I said, we're getting rid of the stormwater and waste in there altogether. And so we'll then have the same flooring flowing from the interior to exterior. It's essentially an interior space, it's just an open access type space as in terms of air, unconditioned space, best way to put it. So this primary line, primary desk, immigration desk disappears altogether. This all goes. There's, okay. The technology is failing me.
Do you want me to draw?
That's all right. Always come prepared. This will disappear altogether. And so this really opens up this entire space. As I said, it represents more than tripling of the space that's currently in there. So through the area through there. This area through here, we will have the ability to actually lock this space off outside of ours just for best practice, so that this screening area is only accessible by passengers that have been screened, or by staff that have a suitable ASIC card, an Australian Security Identification card, to have access to this area. We will have the ability to access this area through that door there, and we haven't quite determined yet, but I think it's probably going to be glazing across here with double door access in here. That can be locked off, but there's access through that here in there as well. It's falling apart on me.
It's a complete disaster.
Toilets, we talked about the toilets, so I won't labour the point, but basically disabled up over here near the sector, opening this area up substantially. Sink along here, and the urinals will be up in that zone there. There will be an ambulance toilet facility in there as well. That's a term in line with best practice. And the female toilets will be upgraded as well as part of the works, as will the arrivals area as well. We'll get to that. And just finally, this will be our first aid room as well as our parents' room, as I said, just to cater for stretchers and the like and things like that as well. So we've got that functionality. Are there any questions? Or we've gone through this quite a bit of detail. I should have brought that up first up. That's just so much easier. So, just to confirm, refurbishing of the parents' room to complete first aid, toilets, refurbishing of the existing disabled access toilet, which we spoke about when we were there, talked about removing the wall and putting a shower block in there as well. And a new floor to be done. So, these are the arrival toilets, and it's just to confirm that we're doubling the capacity in the female arrival toilets for the creation and the toilet. Second one there by using some of the cleaners rooms and the existing disabled rooms. I think it's that one. And male toilets as well, creating some additional space there, additional capacity in there, and giving it a little bit of a freshen up as well. So, in terms of staging, this will happen first. So we'll do these works first, and we'll need to do these works and have these available when we start looking at closing off secure areas and starting the works in the secondary toilets as well. The toilets will all have to happen before we start closing off areas and the like. All right. As I said, we've talked a lot of details this morning, so Unless there's any questions, once again, I should have run through this slide before. Once again, you have to put your signs down.
Members around the table, any questions? Sorry, Anne, you have something to...
Sorry, just that the variations will be coming to council at the April meeting for their consideration.
Thank you.
All right, just finally, screening authority transition. Just to bring everyone up to date, really, just the application to the Office of Transport and Security has been made and has been acknowledged by the Office of Transport and Security a couple of weeks ago now, probably 3 weeks ago now. They do have up to 60 days, but we're expecting to hear from them ahead of that. They have been quite good with the other regional airports and been quite timely. Once we've got that approval, then that allows us to transition to become the screening authority and take over from Qantas. The interim arrangements that we've had approved by OTS is that we are able to use the existing Qantas equipment, which is actually past its use-by date, but we've got a period of time that we can use it for. That actually enabled us to make the application, which was a requirement. So we have that equipment until October, and then we need new equipment, which the tenders have been let. Well, when I say let, they have come in, and the assessment process is going on at the moment. And so we will be looking to transition to new screening equipment in October with a view to that being there for the next 5 years. So it's appropriate that will be there for the next 5 years. Interim arrangements also include MSS Security, and they will have a contract with us for 5 years. There is a tender out with the which has actually come in. And tender packs have been issued to the assessment panels. The three airports, what we call the Pilbara Airports Group, have through the Pilbara Regional Council, have gone through a tender process for screening across the Pilbara to try and build up some economies of scale and get some savings, basically. So we'll be assessing those service tenders shortly, over the next week. And then the charges were approved at the OC on the 22nd of Feb. Airlines have obviously been notified prior to the OCM and subsequent to the OCM as well, and the fees and charges as well. The notification has gone out, and that was in part of that as well. So that's probably the key updates on the screening authority transition.
Cool. Thank you very much. Oh,
that's it, Brett.
Any questions in relation to the screening? No? Oh, good. Thanks very much for your presentation, Brett. That's good. All right, well, welcome Mr. Ian Mackay, Manager of the Airport Operations, to give us his presentation.
That's just here.
I would have done them from the
home. Yeah, that's where you just go to and from. That's forward, that's back.
All right, well, thank you very much for allowing me to speak. It's really been a long time that the operations side has come to the committee and given a presentation or something like that, and I thought, well, while I'm here, I might as well have a go. Not that I'm not accustomed to these things, but I thought we'd like to have a look at it. One of the things that... it's worked. I'll put this one on here first to let you see. This time last year, we took an adventure to expand the apron area and go to push back. It's taken a little while to do that because of the red tape here and there. But I think we've overcome most of it. I've actually put this picture in here showing you that we had five planes in there that way. All right? And I'm just going to go forward. I've taken that out. Sorry. The next slide actually had a plane waiting on the apron on the taxiway. So we really had six planes there that day. Okay? And we were waiting for one to come out to let the one go in. So we were really at our capacity on that day. So this can happen at any time. Right? Normally happens when some of the outstations, mining companies, who have the Fokker 11 public going to, and they've got a gravel runway, and it's been raining, so guess where they come? They come into here, and then we've got a whole lot of problems of parking the planes on the apron area. So we took the, along with Russell and company, we decided to expand the whole area to go to this pushback system. The pushback system is very much to get the planes in, get them out, and get them away from our place and take their money off them. Okay. Sorry, I threw that.
No, I like that bit.
Okay. The other biggest problem we have with these planes is jet blast. If anybody would like to test it, I'll certainly take you out and stand outside and let you feel how strong it is and all the dust, and you just get blown off your feet with that jet blast. So we get rid of the jet blast, which is most important. We also get rid of screwing up of the pavement, all right, where they turn around, they screwing the pavement up. And also, as I said earlier at the meeting, we have a problem with heavy weights. They are heavy, but we can cope with that with a straight-in approach and push them back out. Okay. What I did do is here to make just some idea of the construction side of this here. As I said, the purpose of the extension was to allow the RPD service to be pushed back using tugs instead of having to power themselves in and out. The pushback operation would also alleviate the problems with the aging apron pavement, which is a big concern to us from an engineering point of view. We actually put in 25,000 square metres of apron, right, which is equivalent to double what you've got there before. Okay. There were three areas that we did, the south, the east and the west, and these are the quantity of square metres we put in. The middle one's got the button in it. Oh, there it is. The three areas that we did was up here,
yep,
in this area here, and in this area here. Okay. Basically, as previously told, the pushback system will go. We've allowed for future development on the terminal building. These footpaths have to be redesigned. I've got another plan that shows them working better than that. And then you've got the bays. And just a point of thing is there's enough. What we've got to look at is when you put planes into these areas, you've got to look at your facilities, your fuel truck. You've got to look at your baggage handling. You've got to look at the car and getting the bags on. And they've got to have space to get through the planes. And this has all been designed to do that. But here you can have actually six. These are the smaller planes which are there at the moment, which is the 737-800. They can all go on any of those bays all the way through. If we do get a larger aircraft in, obviously they can go on the big plane, on the big bays, and we've accommodated them. But we can also have smaller planes. The concrete bays, as we talked to before, basically they're in there to take the weight of the aircraft, so that, and as you know, concrete will spread, as your thickness will spread the weight across the ground, so we shouldn't have much any problems with there where you've got at the moment a single axle pushing down the ground.
Okay. And just on that one, the green lines, is that showing they can still power out?
What does that represent?
Just forget the green lines.
Okay, this one here, the green line, is to actually be able to power out. Okay, we do get planes that come in at night, where obviously the pushback system would not be available to them. And we're talking about smaller planes, and they can actually go into these bays. We put them into these bays, and they can power themselves out. This was just to see if we can. These were put in because of an emergency. Right? If we were stuck and we had no chugs and they weren't working, we could actually get these planes out. It was just a plan just to make it was supposed to
backup
be
plan.
A backup plan to get them out.
Can I just ask, it might be a technical question, bay two from the left.
Yep.
Why is there such a big gap?
The reason for that was in case we had to take them out when there's a plane on this set here. It's all wingtip clearance. So if he turned, he would get out and go.
Thank you.
Okay, some of the photographs. This is we started to do the work. And that was just taking out the first amount of base course material, which was great. We thought we were in a winner. And then we went, oh, by the way, I put that in because we always have a safety officer looking after everybody in case they run onto the airfield and damage. So he's in his, sorry, it's a bit cloudy, but we have to go and knock on the window every so often because he sometimes goes to sleep. No, that's not true. Okay. Well, he's up there looking at the whole project, making sure that everything's safe and everything's coming in and out. This is, can you turn the light off, please? There's a, can I? Yeah. We went down to the second layer, and you can see what we were up against, all this water, and that was just coming up through the ground. As we took the material out, it just kept coming up, and we had to overcome that. This shows you some of the areas. The plan was to, and the design was to put drainage in. This drain here comes down between the old taxi apron and the new one, and it's actually low enough, hoping that the water up here underground will come across and go into it and go out, along with water in this area, in and out. There's a lot of other photographs, but I cut them out. This is on the other side, which is the further side nearest to the windsock. And what we did, we put a drain down here to stop all the water coming underground in here so that we can get it away. So all it was doing was trying to protect the surface area. This is actually the finished surface before they did the final trim to put the seal on it. We had a massive area of unsuitable material, and we decided we weren't sure what to do, so we ended up putting rock in, and we put the rock into this area. So that's the rock, and that's actually below the base course material. The rock that we put in, and then we put a material called bidam over the top, and then we started, you'll see the truck up here, ready to put the first layer of base course in, and that's in putting the base course, and then went all the way up the whole thing. This base course has a, this base course ended up being 600 millimeters thick. At the end of the day, there were three lifts of 200 millimeter lifts onto the top. Because it was designed to take not only the aircraft we've got today, but we also get aircraft like the Antonov that comes in, which is 120 tons. So it be able to cope with these aircraft coming down if we had to use that in that area. On the east end, we had the biggest problem in that area with water, because it came down off the hill and straight into that area. And as you all know, we had that rain that 300 millimeters or 250 millimeters just flooded the whole place. So all the water ended up down in this area. So we put in these soak well drains in this area to drain the water away. We then actually cement stabilized the whole area, because we just have very soft, we have bogging trucks and stuff. And this is the this point here is the outlet of the drains that we had in this whole area. We put in a culvert, which was great. First dig, second dig, and behold, we had water. It just kept coming up. So we had to put this stuff in and then carry on, and then we laid a concrete slab and then put the culverts in. So all this other area in here was all cement stabilized, backfilled in here over the top, and we were then put your base coat. Oh, sorry, this was all cement stabilized. Then we had 450 of base course material put in this year. It was three lifts of 300. So we had 600, not as much weight going on to this area, but we'll take it with that. This is the big main area, which is 12,000 square meters. And we put a prime on that, and that's the prime. And then we put an asphalt finish over the top of it. The contractor that was doing this job didn't have the contract to do the asphalt, and we were bringing in another contractor to do that. So they had to finish at a certain point, which they finished at with a seal on top, and we had to wait for the asphalt people to come in. That's another one over. Where are we? That's at the bottom end of the big area. Proposed, am I allowed to talk about a little bit? Northern Avon?
Of course.
I haven't given any photographs, but the proposed is to go to the Northern Avon extension.
Don't tell him too much, Ian.
That's all right. Sorry? First of all, I've got. The drawings are all done. I was going to put one up here, but I thought I might be in the bad book showing the committee before I showed Russell. But that's all done, ready to go to the Northern Apron. What the Northern Apron will do is it will transfer the excess light aircraft in the main area and get them out of there and put them into the Northern Apron. And they can park and work from there all the time. Also, it actually has a new area for the helicopters. We want to move the helicopters out of that where they are now and put them down there. And as I said at this morning's meeting, separate them. I mean, if you go to any airport, you'll find the helicopters are down there and the GA is over here and the main apron's in the middle. Keep them separate all the time. So the Northern Apron is will, once it's done, that's not supposed to go like that. Just to give you a brief of what's going on in the airport, and a lot of people might hear things. I forgot what I was going to say now. Do you ever get that stage? What I've done is I've tried to bring up the staff out there to make it a much better place to work in. I've more or less done that now. They get training. Some of them are only beginners in the field. I organise training for them every week. In fact, it was not on this morning, which we were out in the terminal building. So every Wednesday, they're all pulled in. They get a topic, and we discuss that topic and get it all done. The airplane is looking much nicer. I find that when you drive into the airport, it's looking nice. The grass is cut, and that's the whole idea. We're going right through the whole procedure and fixing it up so you can have a reasonable airport one day. But there's a lot of work to be done. The last thing I'm going to say, I'm going to stick my neck out. Please vote for Tugs. Thank you.
Good on you. Thank you very much, Ian. That was very helpful. You're absolutely right. It's been a very long time since we've had a presentation from operations, and it's good. I hope to see that continue. And thank you to the engineering, your staff as well, because it has been noted that the airport in the last several weeks has been so much nicer to move in, and the grass, just cutting the grass makes so much better. So, well done. All right, any questions for Ian around the table? No worries. Thanks again, Ian. Let's move on to reports of the officers. 10.1, Port Hedland International Airport Projects Update for April 2014 with the officers' recommendation on page 12. Are there any points of clarification? Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. Can I have a seconder? Thank you, Flo. Sorry?
Just note that Serge has left.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so second to Flo, and any against? All in favour, thank you. Moving on to page 15, 10.2, Port Hedland International Airport Committee dates and times. With the officer's recommendation on page 17, commencing page 17 and finishing page 18, are there any points of clarification?
So
thank you, Councillor Gillingham. Thank you, Councillor Botson. Seconder. Any against? All in favour. Item 11. Late items as permitted by the presiding member. I have nil. Item 12. Motions of which previous notice has been given. I have nil. Item 13. Confidential items. There are nil. Item 14, attendance via teleconference. Now, given that we have just voted to have the next meeting, which will be held bi-monthly, the next meeting will be June 4th, will there be any requirements for any of the committee members to attend via teleconference? No? Fine. Item 15, applications for leave of absence. Councillor Melville?
I don't have the... no, thank you.
Flo?
No.
Councillor Butson, Councillor Gilliam.
I will be away for the June meeting, so I'll have a leave of absence from the 5th of May to the 19th of June.
Thank you. Hope it's holidays.
Yeah.
Dr. King?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Madam Mayor?
No, nothing from me.
I do have leave of absence, but it's only to affect April 30th through to May 16th, so it won't affect the next meeting. Okay. Item... Do I need a mover and a shaker for that, even though it's not affecting the meeting anymore?
I'll
so thank you very much, Madam Mayor, and seconded Dr. King. Thank you. Item 16, closure. Okay, as just advised, we've voted to hold the meetings bi-monthly, so the next meeting of the Airport Committee will be held on 4th of June. And with that, nothing further other than to close the meeting at 1:24. So thank you.